Good morning. Hey, it's officially summer, and this is a summer series that we're kicking off. I get to set up the series today and then take some rest over the summer. You'll see us here in the services. I'm just looking forward to be fed by an amazing team that just does a great job throughout the year, but in summer series, they really, really shine. So looking forward to hearing each and every one of them. I love the numbers. Wow, the storehouse. The Bible says that we're to bring the tithe into the storehouse so there might be food in God's house. There's some food in the house, amen? There's some good stuff going on, and I just appreciate, as Ryan, I want to echo just my thanks for your generosity. This weekend, we were able to do a Freedom Weekend. Sometimes we call it a Freedom Conference. It's not big enough, really, to be a conference, but I'll tell you, it feels like it when we're here. And some of just what we're sensing in the room this morning, I think, is the residue of people just throughout Friday evening and Saturday. It's an intense time of ministry, and it is just so powerful. And one of our presenters just pointed at the fact that we're able to do this for people, and at this point, we don't charge anything. We provide lunch, and that all is budgeted out of your generosity because we want people to know God and find freedom. And so our Freedom Weekend, so many volunteer and come and serve.
There are small group leaders that oversee the freedom groups that are here ministering. And hey, we just had a time, and so that's part that because of your generosity, we can do that. We want to continue doing that, and you want to be listening for this fall semester of another freedom group opportunity. We recommend everybody do one or two or as many freedom groups as you can. And then be a small group leader and facilitate somebody else's freedom. If you're free today, the Bible says, let the redeemed, let the free say so. Are you free today in Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Come on. And hey, online, why don't you just type in right now, I'm free. And do it in faith. If you don't feel free today, type that in faith. And God, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Well, this is the first of a 9-part series. And our kids' church right now is coordinating, and they're doing Fruit of the Spirit downstairs in kids' church. Would you just give it up for our children's church ministry? Wow. Just those guys every week just knock it out of the park. And if you're not a parent, you don't get to go downstairs and see what's happening. I would encourage you sometime after a service, just have a walk down and see what's happening in between services. And it's really powerful to witness. Summer Connection is happening, and some people have already stepped out. I've heard reports of, hey, we invited some people over and people that maybe we wouldn't ordinarily do, and we had a good time. Of course you had a good time. You connected, and God designed us that way. So I just thank you for all of you, all of those who are stepping out in Summer Connection. And in your notes today, there are some follow-up questions. If you want to take your Summer Connection a little further and continue meeting and kind of have a discussion group together, we've put resources in so that you can do that. All right. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And let's read it together. Love, joy,
peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness,
and self-control. Lord Jesus, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here today and that you want to produce fruit in our lives this throughout this summer season. Lord, as we take time to focus and to build and to really abide in you, Jesus, to get close and to enjoy your presence, just let there be a sense as we come into the fall season that there's just fruit just popping out all over the place because the Holy Spirit has been doing work at Harvest. I pray it and ask it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said? So last summer's series was Roots of Character. We talked about the roots. We're talking about fruit. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is for picking. It's for people in the world to come and get a taste of Jesus from your life. We are the representation of Jesus. When they come to a service on Sunday, we say it this way, that it's the closest to heaven that a person's going to get, because the presence of God is in the praises of his people. When they're around us at work, at school, wherever it might be, we want to be producing the fruit of the Spirit, so when they pick joy from our life and have a little taste and see that the Lord is good, they're actually participating in the attributes of Jesus himself, who's making himself real through our lives. We're being transformed from the inside to the outside, and we want fruit for picking. The reality, though, is that over the generations, the church, and not Harvest, but the church in general, has not done a good job in marketing Jesus. In fact, it's embarrassing to me sometimes in the media or in movies or however it might be in the public eye, where somebody very religious is thumping something from a soapbox and declaring something so contrary to the good news of the gospel, thinking that they're helping God when in fact they're doing a horrible job marketing and advertising who Jesus is. And it's not really patience at all. It's more like frustration. And it's not kindness really at all that's coming from their message, but it's kind of mean, kind of nasty, kind of judgmental. And so at Harvest, we want to have the fruit of the Spirit so people can pick the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is a good indicator of how each of us is doing in reflecting Jesus. It's a good indicator. It's kind of a good spiritual thermometer. Are we getting our Christianity right? It's really not if you're getting your doctrine right. And sometimes I make statements like that. People go, well, Pastor Roy, you know, it is important that, you know, we understand and follow the Bible. Yes, very, very important. But sometimes people worship the Bible. They're not worshiping the writer of the Bible, but they're worshiping knowledge and they're worshiping getting doctrine right. You can know the right stuff, but knowing doesn't lead to growing. Knowing stuff. Knowing Jesus is what leads to growing. Knowing Jesus and having his Holy Spirit in us, working in us, that's what causes growth. That's what causes the fruit of the Spirit. And as we just read, it's the Spirit's work. Say Spirit's work. It's the Spirit's work in us. And the fruit of the Spirit indicates what's happening inside of us, how our transformation process is going. And you know what? God wants you to have lots of fruit. He wants to give you all the fruits, lots of fruit, abundance of fruit. And it's and so as we look at this, I hope we all want more love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just reading them makes you kind of feel good inside, doesn't it? Just reading, like, love and joy. These are such great things because this encapsulates who Jesus is. And then we want to be that representation to Jesus. Will we do it perfectly? No, that we are clay jars. We have a treasure in us, but as long as the treasure, the Spirit of God, the salvation, eternal life is in us, it will make its way out of us through our imperfections, through our difficulties. And that's what's so great about the good news of the gospel. Well, I have the job this morning to set this series up, so I'm going to spend a little bit more time just kind of getting us ready, and then I want to talk about the first and arguably the most important of the fruits of the Spirit. If you get this one in your life, then the other ones can follow. It's first in order, I believe, for a reason, love, and so we'll look at that. But let's look at the list of the fruits of the Spirit in its context. We read the list, but let's find out in Galatians why Paul had it there. And so it begins in Galatians chapter 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk or live out or journey, go on this journey called Christianity as a Christ follower. I'm following Jesus. I'm walking out what the scriptures say I'm to do. As I walk out with Jesus and I become his disciple, I am walking out this spiritual life, and I do it by the Spirit. I say walk by the Spirit. And if we're walking and being directed by the Spirit of God in us, then we will not gratify the desires of our flesh. The flesh is a word in the New Testament. It talks about our old nature as opposed to the new nature. We are new creations. The old nature, the one that acts up, the one that wants things that are not godly, the desires and the lust of the flesh, and it's our part of our old nature that was rendered powerless on the cross. But it likes to kick up, and the enemy likes to come and remind us, well, you could do this and you could do that. And it's the area of our life that we're tempted through to break out of our journey, to go off track. But Paul said, if you walk by the Spirit, you'll not gratify, you'll not walk out in the direction of the works of the flesh. And so we're learning how to not do what the old nature wants to do and to do what Jesus wants us to do. And as we're going to see, this leads up to that Spirit's work of the fruit of the Spirit. For the flesh desires, does it ever, huh? Doesn't our flesh desire? It desires. It wants. It demands sometimes. I want. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And it's contrary. And so sometimes, anger, we didn't experience kindness and gentleness and something, and anger kind of makes its way to the surface, showing us that God's still doing a work. And we ask ourselves the question, why did I act that way? Why did I act that way? And you're asking the question because there's a war inside. It's contrary. The flesh and the Spirit are contrary. They're at odds with one another. They're in conflict with each other as this verse goes on. So that you are not to do whatever you want. And I love how Paul words that, because he didn't say, do what God says or else. He says, what God wants you to do is learn how to say no to your flesh and yes to all that God has, yes to the things of the Spirit. And I love that because this is for you. This is for me. This is not for God. Well, God says, stop it right now. No, this isn't for God. God loves us so much. This is for say it's for me. The fruits are for you to make your life and my life amazing as we walk out, it's fresh in my mind, as we walk out knowing God, loving God, not knowledge know God, but experiencing God and his love so we can find freedom. And we just did that this weekend. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. This is really important to understand. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the law represented the holiness of God. And no man, no woman, nobody could keep the law because we're born sinners. And the law, the law was a third party. And it was a third voice out there that spoke to people and said, do not, do not, do not. And when you did, it screamed out, you broke the law, you broke the law, you're a sinner. Do not, do not, you're a sinner. Do not, you're a sinner. And it's not, the law's not bad because it was from God and represents God, but the law had no power. It's third party. It had no power to change the human heart and soul. But then Jesus came and gave his life and put his life in us. And so now that life in us, we don't have the holiness of God on the outside screaming at us and declaring that we have messed up. But inside us, the love and the life of God, and actually empowers us to change from the inside out. So the law is in our heart. The law, the representation of God, is in our heart. And we want it to come out to the outside. But very important that this is not something from the outside that you're going to do. This is not, I can't teach you how to have the fruits of the Spirit. The presenters this summer cannot teach you. Today we're going to teach you how to be patient. I have kids, man. That'll teach you how to have some patience. If you're looking to be taught to have patience, because they're not teaching you, you're experiencing and needing to draw on something larger than yourself to be able to be a good parent. So we can't teach you this because it doesn't come from the outside, and we're so tempted sometimes as Christians. Let's do another teaching and I'll teach you how to have joy. Well, I don't want textbook joy. I want the joy of the Lord that is my strength. I want to experience God's joy in me. That even when I'm facing difficulty, there's a little giggle. And I'm not making light of the difficulty, but I'm realizing that the God who's higher than my difficulty is within me. The God who says there's a tomorrow. You're going to wake up tomorrow and not be in mourning and not be in grieving. There will be another day. You're going to get through this. You're going to make it to the other side. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I can't teach you that, but I can show you how to experience that. And so there's this, be led by the Spirit. You're not under the law. And then it describes what happens when we follow the desires of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious. We know what that looks like. Sexual immorality. That's one word in the Greek. We get our word pornography. It's poinia. And so it refers to just anything outside of the confines of marriage, the place where God places the outward working of our sexuality between a man and a woman in the confines of marriage. Inside that and that is the beautiful expression of sexuality that God has given us. Impurity, debauchery. Which is simply, if it feels good, do it. That's what debauchery is. I'll just do whatever feel. I have no moral code. It just feels good. So I like this. I want to do this. Idolatry, witchcraft. That's an interesting word to unpack. It's pharmaka, and we get our word pharmacy from it. And you go, how do you get witchcraft from pharmacy? It's been long known, even scientifically, that something other than a biological response happens with hallucinant and any drugs that are mind-altering, that people describe it as a spiritual, and even Native Americans and Native Canadians in the sweat lodges, and then they utilize hallucinogenics, and they will tell you they're having a spiritual experience. And so you're having an experience devoid of God, right? You're generating a spiritual experience without the one who is the God of all spirits. And so it uses the word witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You don't feel as good after you read that one. Ugh. Feel like I need a shower. I like the other one better. I like the other list. I warn you, as I did, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, and here's where we okay, if you do that, you do those things, you're going to hell. You do those other things, you get to go to heaven. And it's that idea of this, you know, the law. And what I love at Harvest is we've embraced in our freedom curriculum a beautiful teaching when you take the freedom curriculum in small group. And it begins with understanding that the devil, right in the garden, tempted Eve with another way to be godly. He said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a tree in the garden, and I don't believe it was literal fruit, but more of a philosophy of how to get to God. And they had had the tree of life, eternal life in them. God had breathed life into them, and they were free in the garden and to partake of the life of God. And then the enemy said, there's another way to God. Yeah, it's just the knowledge of good and evil. So you can decide what's good for you. You can decide what's bad for you and just do good stuff. If you do all the good stuff, then you can be like God. Your eyes will be, you'll be just like God. And that's another way to be godly. And of course, God has said, no, if you detach yourself from my life, you are nothing. And you will die if you detach yourself from me and go this other way. And religions down through history have used the tree of knowledge of good and evil to try to behavior modify us. If you will do this and morally do that, and this moral code of following a law, not a changed heart that can be changed only one way by having the eternal life of God placed in us. And so at Harvest, that understanding, that teaching is so powerful because we don't want to go back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and do outward performance, duty-orientated things that we think is making us godly. And so we read this verse. I warn you, as I did, that those who live, that are living, producing this list, acts of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not a place. The kingdom of God is not a place. It's not speaking about our eternal destination. And as we're working out our salvation, that some of these things that do make their way out and they show us, why did I do that? And I want to change. And there's a desire to change. And it's the Holy Spirit in us. The kingdom of heaven, we have a king and he has a kingdom. And we enter into that kingdom when we begin to serve the Lord. And when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of us, we begin prioritizing our life with kingdom priority, there are blessings of kingdom life. There are miracles in kingdom life. There are amazing things living this life with Jesus, and our lives begin to change. Our families, our marriages, things begin to change. Because something inside, if we continue the old way, we don't inherit these blessings because we're clogged up with this other thing going on. But when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, we can inherit this beautiful life. It's ours to live in here on the earth. Yes, we're going to heaven. But until then, God says, there's a whole lot of stuff I want to do in your life now. And I'm not waiting for you to get here. I want you to know this work in your life now. Say it's for today. Right now, today. And I don't want to be led by my flesh. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to inherit this lifestyle of fruit that pops out because Jesus is in me. But the fruit of the Spirit, and there's our list. And so that's the context of our list this morning and this list of the fruits and these attributes of Jesus that are going to be in us and coming to the surface as we represent him in the world, taste and see that God is good. We're not going to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and try to do all these things on our own. We can't. In fact, at the beginning of this book of Galatians, Paul says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. And you're turning to a different gospel, which is really not good news at all, which is what gospel means. It's not good news at all. It's bondage. It's religious. It's do better, try harder. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and you're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. There were Jewish people who somehow thought that old covenant, that old way of doing things, that the new covenant sounded too good to be true. How can you have a gospel where that's free and offered, and there's nothing that the human heart or soul can do to receive eternal life? Nothing. Nothing. The Bible says that you can do nothing but receive it. Because God so loved the world. And he says, how can you accept the old way of back to a law-based tree of knowledge of good and evil-based life? You're perverting it. He says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you. And one of the things that they wanted to do is that the men should be circumcised, which was a Jewish rite that was in the Old Testament, and it was a mark in the flesh that represent a heart that's been cut away, a hard heart, in faith, believing for a day when Jesus would come and be able to transform the heart. And in faith for that, God said that every male born, in the Jewish culture, that they would have to be circumcised. Did that make for good church growth, by the way? If we in Galatians, so it's like the guy would go, honey, I'll drop you off. What time is church? Okay, 10 o'clock. What time are you guys over? Oh, yeah, okay, I'll be there to pick you up in the parking lot after church, honey. Have a good Sunday. Right, because we circumcision is necessary. We have a little room where the guys go off and you put your hand up, get saved on Sunday. Amen. Okay, now it's time to be circumcised. But they were doing that in Galatia because the Jews were saying that we need a little extra here, and that wasn't necessary. And Paul's kind of fighting against this. See, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, and we can put any activity of trying to add to the work of Christ's grace and get out of the tree and come into this place of doing and trying to accomplish salvation. He said, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that, listen, if you're going to do a little law, you might as well do all the law. Because you can't be half in and half out. You either receive grace and let the Spirit begin to do his work, or you go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and try to work this out on your own. And he's being very clear. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You're actually cutting yourself off from grace. You're turning the grace tap off and going, I don't need that. I'm really good at discipline. I'm really good at getting this right. And God says, no, you're not. You're really lousy at it. There's an old nature to prove it. And so we live with the abiding grace. And so we're not going to teach you. But what we're going to emphasize is not what we're supposed to be doing, but who we're supposed to be in Christ. Are you ready? As we talk about the first fruit called love, remain in me. As I also remain in you, Jesus talking to disciples, to Christ followers. No branch can bear fruit by itself. And a lot of people are trying. They're trying. They have this ritualistic approach. I've heard people say, every day I read my Bible. Every day I do my spiritual disciplines. I do the word. And I go, when was the last time you opened your Bible and you were sitting doing your quiet time and the Spirit of God just sat down beside you, manifested his love and goodness and grace, and you began to weep, just understanding and knowing how close Jesus really is to you? And they look at you like you got five heads. Well, this morning I read my Bible and I studied, and by golly, I'm going to live out this word. You're kind of mean, kind of angry. You sure you were reading God's word? But when we begin to understand, yes, God's word empowers us and that fruit. So Jesus says, look, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Say remain. That word is snuggle up. Stay real close to Jesus. Snuggle up. Get real close. Cultivate an intimate relationship with Jesus. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There can be no joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There can be no fruit if you're not connected to me. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Connected to Jesus. John chapter 14, we read this statement. If you love me, keep my commands. He's talking to his disciples. If you love me, keep my commands. Let me read it from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil perspective. We're over here trying. If you love me, you will prove it. You will be a good Christian. You will be, I saw that transgression. You better try harder. That look. Oh my, I can't even look. God, I'm God and I can't even look at you right now. That if you loved me, you wouldn't have done that. You could read it that way. Or we can read it the way the Passion Translation captures it. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands that are inside me, inside you. If you love me, you can do this. If you love me, you will enjoy this. If you love me, stay close to me, develop intimacy. Love, say love. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. These things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The worship team, if you could come. Because I want amazing music playing while I just finish up these few points. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, let love be your greatest aim. And hey, we aim at a lot of things. We're going to suggest and we do teach and teach you different things. And we want you, we heard about giving today, and we want you to aim at giving. We want you to aim at freedom. We want you to aim at all of these things. But your greatest aim has to be love. Love for God, and then love for others. Because that's inseparable. That's a package deal. You don't get love for God and not love for, it's a package deal. So if you're standing before the altar, you're offering your sacrifice to God, or we could say it this way today in 2025 here on this summer day at Harvest. If you're standing in amazing worship time and suddenly remember that a friend has something against you, stop worshiping and go and apologize and be reconciled to them, and then come back and continue loving God. And what Jesus is kind of saying is, don't talk to me until you talk to them, because this is really important, love for me and love for others. I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other just as much as I love you. Your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We've talked about this. Because we love, we care for others. And not just the people we like. Not just those people. And the fruit of love just starts to manifest. Why? Because I've been loved. I've experienced love. And so love for others starts to grow out of my life. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. They're inseparable. We're loving God so that love can be produced as a fruit in our life for others. Galatians, Paul went on to say, the only thing that counts. That's kind of a big statement. The only thing that counts. We better follow through and see what the only thing that counts is faith. Oh yeah, faith people, that's right. Faith is the faith. You got to have faith. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Through love. Through love. How do we do this? Number one, you got to understand how much God loves you. This is always my go-to when I get off track. The simplicity that he is my father and that he loves me and I'm a beloved son. That you're a beloved son or you're a beloved daughter today. There's nothing you can do to earn more and there's nothing you can do to disqualify. And just stop. Sometimes I'll read the Gospels and just follow and watch Jesus love. Just watch him love. And then I don't just study to know it. I want to experience it. So I sit on the couch and sometimes I don't open my Bible. I just go, Lord, today I need you. My love language, Christina can tell you, my love language is touch. And for those of you that don't know the love languages, that's just a way that it's a way that when I know that I'm being loved, when there's five of them, when I'm being touched. And she might say, but I don't want to touch you because you think dancing leads to other things, so I don't want to touch you. And but she's learned it's my love language, and so cuddling, watching a movie or something, just her to reach out and just tap me. It's just the human touch is very reassuring to me. I see some people leaning over around, and it's just you are people who like touch. Well, Jesus knows that's my love language too. He doesn't force me to receive or understand love. And so sensing and knowing as he manifests, I love worship, because when I sense and know he's there and he touches me, not physically, but in my heart, in my soul. So sometimes I just wait and I just wow. And I'll get emotional. And I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus. And understanding how much, and he loves me so much that he'll respond to my love language. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. And I prayed for you this morning. He'll strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being, not on the outside, on the inside, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray, being rooted and established in the law? No, in love. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people. And my prayer is that you would grasp. That you would grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I want you to know that you can't know this. It sounds funny, doesn't it? That's the prayer. I want you to know, my prayer is that you got to know that you can't know this. What does that mean? I want that word, first word, know, is that you would experience him the way two people come together and interact with one another. They know each other. It's not intellectual. It's here in the spirit. I want you to know this love that doesn't make sense to your head. And if you try to make sense of it, you will do it an injustice. So that you would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And the fruit just starts to come out. And it begins with understanding how much God loves you. And there's a story that best illustrates this. And it's in Luke chapter 7. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house. He reclined at the table because that's what they did. They laid down on couches with their upper body and their kind of their faces toward the table and their feet away from the table. And we'll learn from the story that Jesus, that when you came into a courtyard and they were having kind of a patio dinner together, people would kind of show off their dinner parties. They would leave the gate open and passersby were allowed to come and see what kind of food you were serving. And they weren't allowed to come and partake, but they were allowed to look and you could brag. And Jesus is at the table and we'll learn that it was customary that you would wash somebody's feet so they would feel comfortable. Because the way they were seated, your feet were in the next guy's face. And so as you're cutting your steak and you had smelly feet that had just walked through some camel dung outside the gate, that's not a nice way to have dinner. But apparently that's what happened. And a woman in town who lived a sinful life, and it's a nice way of saying she was a sex trafficker. We don't know why. But she met Jesus and he transformed her life and changed her forever. And her life was changing. And she was experiencing love in a different way. It wasn't the betrayal love. It wasn't the literally piece of flesh, physical meat love that just didn't meet her need, though she desperately thought it might. And she had discovered that Jesus loved her, and that's who she was. That's the woman, and she had a reputation, and she came by, and she wasn't there to watch what was for dinner. She just needed to stand in his presence one more time. She just needed to be with him one more time. She came with an alabaster jar of perfume, and we're told that's a That's about a year's wages of an average person. And it was for your burial. It was for the day that you died. And she didn't want to wait until the day she died. She needed to stand in Jesus' presence right now. She came with her, what would have been put on her, in her coffin. She would have been prepared when she died. And it was kind of like in culture, like a hope chest for a little girl. But this was, you had this, you were either given it or you would save up money for it. And it was to embalm, but it was to prepare your body for burial. But she didn't want to wait until she was dead to be with Jesus. She stood behind him. She just didn't want to be. She was behind at his feet. She was hoping no one would notice her. And she, as soon as she stepped into his presence, she couldn't help it. She just began to weep. She's overwhelmed that he would have saved her, loved her, set her life on a new path. Tears are coming down her cheeks, dripping off, and they're on his feet. And when she looks through the blurriness of her tears, she realizes that his feet are muddy now because her tears. She didn't have anything to wipe his feet. She pulled the tie out of her hair. The Pharisee who's watching says, "She, why is she doing that? That's so sexual. That's so." And she took what was interpreted one way now as a way of simply saying thank you, and her hair wiping the mud off his feet, kissed his feet, poured the perfume on him, a year's of salary, just extravagance. I'm so thankful to be in your presence. I'm so thankful that you love me. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, this guy were a prophet, he would know this sinner, sinning woman was touching him so inappropriately. Jesus, knowing Simon's thought, "Simon, I have something I want to tell you." "Sure, teacher. You're going to teach me something." Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, which is a lot. Another owed 50, still a lot, but not as much. Neither of them had any money to pay him back, to forgive the debts of both. And he's talking about our salvation. And sometimes we think that we have little sins and big sins. He's talking to somebody who's a Pharisee, who's been doing the law and trying to figure out his big sins and his little sins. But honestly, neither of those could be paid for. And Jesus said neither debts could be paid. He said, but the person that owed the debt cancels the debt, forgives them. You don't have to pay it back. Which one of them will love, demonstrate, and manifest back love more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt." "Yeah, you've judged correctly," Jesus said. And he turned toward the woman. He looks at her. He's talking to Simon. He looks her in the eyes. "Do you see this woman? Because I do. I came into your house and you didn't give me any water for my feet. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them. You did not give me a kiss. You didn't greet me when I came in today. But from the time I came into this room, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put any oil on my head, but she poured everything on me. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. Whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And what the point he was trying to make is, nobody has been forgiven little. Nobody has been forgiven little. We were destined for eternal separation from God, a place called hell, where God's wrath is being poured out for all of eternity, his anger. But instead, we're in a place of his love, forgiveness, acceptance. And I don't know about you, but when you understand that, you just want to be in his presence. I just have to be in his presence. So number two, when you've been loved that way, you want to receive God's love. He loved us. We love because he first loved us. God demonstrated his love that while we were his enemy, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. There's nothing we can do to earn. Nothing we can do to disqualify his love. Number three, we choose to love. It's a choice. It's not an emotion. When I've been loved, I want to love. And it will grow because it's in my heart. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this room. When was the last time you longed to be in his presence? I'm just suggesting that if it's been a while, you're not connected, just lost that connection. It might be, it's possible that you slipped over into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're just trying to do some things, you're trying to get some things right, and just what you need to get right is just stop and realize that you are loved. You are loved. You are loved today. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. And when you understand, there'll be something that you just want to express it back to him. You just want to get into his presence. And if that's you today, just take a deep breath, because he's in this room. And drink deeply of his love. I love you, Jesus. I love you. 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 Thank you that you loved me. I never understand why, but I'm going to stop trying to understand, because it's love that surpasses understanding. And in this room, as we experience his love, every day, that's where we start abiding in him. Lord, thank you that I can choose to love others. Because while I'm loved, I have the power by your Holy Spirit to love others. And may they taste and see that God is loving because I am loving. I pray for this series, and I pray throughout of it we'll be reminded each week, first Wednesday in July, these are moments I just want to be in his presence. Each worship service before the teaching, I just want to be in his presence. I just got to get into his presence. I just have to stand and remember again and see him turn and look at me. Turn and look at me and speak to the law and say, hey, you can't do this, but I can. I love you, Roy. I love you, Lewis. I love you. I wish I could say every one of your names today, but he is. And then I choose to allow the fruit of his work come to the surface of my life. Hey, just before we go today, if you're here and you've never experienced the love the way I'm expressing it today of Jesus, you've never felt that love, but today I'm here to tell you he wants to love you. He's knocking on the door of your life right in this moment, and he won't force himself. He actually makes a request. Will you let me love you? He declared his love on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And Jesus loves you so much. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. That while we were sinning, he was dying for us. That love is for you today. We have to choose to receive that love. If you're here today and you've never received God's love, forgiveness of sin, and eternal life being to have his life to come into your life, it would be my greatest honor and privilege to lead you in a prayer right now in this moment. It's a prayer that we're all going to pray together, but I want you to make it your prayer today. And if that's you today, in this moment, while every head's bowed and eyes closed, I just want to know who I'm praying with and for. Would you raise your hand all across this room? I'll count down from three. When I reach one, just lift your hand and say, Pastor, you're praying for me today. I want Jesus. I want to know that love that you're talking about. In 3, 2, and 1. Raise your hand today. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I just want to know who you are today. Anyone else? Oh, Harvest, we know what to do. If you raised your hand online, if this is happening, just text in. I want salvation today. And pray this prayer with us. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. I don't understand it, but I want to experience it. Today, I know that I am a sinner, separated from you. But today, I want to change that. Because you changed that. I receive what you provided for me. When you died, you were buried, and you rose again. Today, take my sin away from my life. Forgive me. Wash me. Jesus, come in my life. Today, thank you. I receive forgiveness. I receive new life. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together today and just congratulate those who made the best decision ever. Oh, for those of you that prayed that prayer, just receive it now. Let's stand together. Let's just sing this before we go and we're dismissed from our service.
Close to the Lord, Almighty, nothing as sweet as your love and mercy. Nothing comes close to the Lord, Almighty, nothing as sweet as his love and mercy.
Searching out.
An awesome God, so selfless, so generous, so faithful.
You are such an
awesome God, so mighty, so holy, so wonderful. Such an awesome God, so selfless, so generous, so faithful you are.
Such an awesome God. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, God. You are so faithful, so kind. God, thank you for this word. Thank you for this series, God. Thank you that as we remain in you, fruit is going to come out of our lives, Lord Jesus. As we snuggle up to you, God, spend time in your presence, understanding how much you love us. God, we thank you for who you are. We go in your love today, God. We love you. We worship you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Harvest, we love you. We'll see you again next Sunday.